Now let's turn to Proverbs, the 27th chapter. Proverbs, the 27th chapter. I want to take two texts today. The first one, of course, is the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. And the second one is in the 27th chapter of Proverbs, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and to look well to thy herds. In this series of messages on the Ten Commandments, we have noted two tables. Table of the law that relates to our responsibility to God, the table of the law that relates to our responsibility to our fellow man and to ourselves. Now, in this second table that I've been talking about, we have the fifth commandment that has to do with the relationship to our parents and our family. And then the sixth commandment has to do with the protection of our lives. We shall not kill. The seventh commandment has to do with the protection of our purity and our cleanliness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And now the eighth commandment has to do with the telling of the truth. Has to do with the keeping of our property. It has to do with the maintaining of what God has given to us. Thou shalt not steal. Now, young people, God gave you your life, and you can't destroy it. God has also given us property. You have to have a coat to wear. You have to have something to sleep in. We have to have possessions in order to get along, in order to live. And these possessions which we have are a responsibility which we must account for to God. Thou shalt not steal. That means, young man, that you have a right to have something. I see that you've got on a pair of glasses. I assume they're yours. You didn't steal them, did you? They don't belong to your brother. They're yours. And you're the only one that looks out of them. That's very good. But suppose somebody came along and ran off with your glasses. You'd go shouting, "Oh, give me back my glasses. Johnny stole my glasses." And that's what you'd say, and you'd be right. He has no right to take your glasses. They're yours. Now, that applies to your glasses, that applies to your toys, that applies to your books, that applies to everything that you have. Now, let me ask you something. Where do you get the things that you have? Where do you get them? How do you come into possession of them? Son, where did you get that tie that you got on? Did you make it? Did you get it given to you? Did you buy it? Everything that you and I possess has come into our possession. We got it from somewhere. You didn't have it when you came. You brought nothing into this world, and you're not going to take anything out of it when you leave. So everything that you've got while you're here, you got from someplace. And it was either given to you. And as you start out in life, everything's given to you. Your mother takes care of you. Your father takes care of you. And then as you come to the ages where you have responsibility, then you can go out and make. You have to work, and you can make some money, and you can buy some things, and these things are yours. And everything we have in life is either something we give to us or something we obtained by making it or in a lawful manner. Now, there's still a third way in which people try to get a hold of things in this life, and that's go and steal them. But that's one way which God says that you're not to come into the possession of things in this world is to steal it. You may come into the possession of things in this world either by somebody giving them to you, or your boy going out and earning them and working for them, or engaging in enterprise and making the necessary profit so that your welfare, your estate, and what you possess may increase. And the Lord says in this text, you look after your own flock. You go out and see that your flock's getting along, look well to their needs. You know what you have, take care of it, because it's your responsibility. And it's right in here, beloved, that you see a moral breakdown. And you see it very clearly today. When you get into the realm of thou shalt not kill, we see the murders, and that's all out in the open, we see that. We get into the realm of thou shalt not commit adultery and have broken homes and divorces and all the tragedy that goes with it, and we see that and we talk about it. But when it comes into the realm of property, you've got the same breakdown. The only difficulty is we don't recognize it quite as clearly and talk about it. But you have a disregard today for property. You have a disrespect today for the other fellow's things. We're running into it on every hand, and it's a part of the general collapse, the general moral disintegration that's taking place. Because if a man understands his God and his relationship to it, he will respect not only his own property, but he will respect the property of others. And he will take care of his own affairs, and then as a good steward of his affairs, his property, and what God's put in his hands, he'll be in a position to be a good steward, and he'll be interested in helping others, as the Bible says. Now, in regard to this irresponsibility, I don't know of any illustration of this any better than I can give you than the Christian Admiral. When we went down to Cape May and looked over that beautiful old Admiral and went through the corridors of that place and saw what the young people and the vandals had done, all in the world you could say is that we have a generation of people today that don't respect property. These young people had gone through that place during the days of its vacancy and just taken delight in just smashing one electric light fixture after another. Somebody had gone down the corridors in the halls, and just every last one of them had been smashed. Just the joy of seeing them blow up and smash. Windows shattered, beds broken, dresser drawers taken up and just banged over the corner of the dresser, and splinters going everywhere. Now, what pleasure, what satisfaction could there possibly be in anybody just taking a beautiful dresser with its drawers and its mirror and smashing something through the beautiful mirror and letting it go to smithereens and then taking the bureau drawers out of it and smashing them down? What pleasure could they get out of that? But somebody got pleasure out of it. Somebody got satisfaction out of it. And we went through that, Admiral, before we took it over, and just saw the thousands and thousands of dollars worth of vandalism and damage that had been done in the Admiral before we took it over. And it was simply a reflection of the moral tragedy and breakdown which is taking place. Now, any boy or any girl reared in a Christian home, and where they've been taught the private responsibilities for property and the value of a dollar and the respect for decency and other people's property, would never have done a thing like that. But we call it delinquency today. And it's in this area of the delinquency that you see this ravaging of property. And people throw things through window lights. Even our own children in our own home don't take care of the things that they have like they ought to take care of. And all of that comes about as a result of our lack of appreciation of property and the place that property has in God's program in holding us responsible as His Creator. Now, in this exposition of these commandments, I've been reading you the larger catechism's definition, and I've been giving it to you because it goes into great detail. And may I read you now the sins that are forbidden in the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And when I read this, you'll be surprised because it includes an awful lot of things that you've never thought of before. But it covers this whole area of responsibility. The sins forbidden in the eighth commandment, beside the neglect of duties, are theft, robbery, man-stealing, and receiving anything that is stolen, fraudulent dealing, false weights and measures, removing landmarks, injustice and unfaithfulness in contracts between man and man, or in matters of trust, oppression, extortion, usury, bribery, vexatious lawsuits, unjust enclosures and depredations, engrossing commodities to enhance the price, unlawful callings, and all other unjust or sinful ways of taking or withholding from our neighbor that which belongs to him, or of enriching ourselves. Covetousness, inordinate prizing and affecting worldly goods, distrustful and distracting cares and studies in getting, keeping, and using them, envying at the prosperity of others, as likewise idleness, wasteful gaming, and all other ways whereby we do unduly prejudice our own outward estate, and defrauding ourselves of the due use and comfort of that estate which God has given us. Now that's a detailed summary, and it not only covers the outward manifestations of this transgression, but it covers the inward disposition of the heart, as all of these commandments do. Now when you look at this summary, it begins, of course, with this matter of theft and robbery and going out and just laying hold by force or by crookedness in some manner of that which belongs to somebody else and taking it to ourselves. Now, why is it wrong to steal? What is wrong with your going and taking something that belongs to somebody else if you like it and think you could make better use of it than they could? What is wrong with stealing? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. The first thing and the foremost thing is that God says you can't do it. And that ought to be enough. God says that you shall not steal. And furthermore, God has a right to say it. God is the one who's entitled to say that. He made you. He made you in such a way that it's necessary for us to have properties and have possessions in order to exist here. We have to have a place to sleep. We have to have food to eat. You must get a possession of it. You must get these things. And God has made it so that we need possessions and properties in order to exist, but also in order to serve Him. And when I deal with this Ten Commandment, or any of the Ten Commandments, you always come back to the fact that God Almighty is the one who's made it so. And because He is the one who's made it this way, this is the order in which He'd like to have us live. And God has been pleased to reveal to us that if we will follow the order which He has laid down, we will be able to live in health and in justice with one another. But if we disregard the order which He has laid down for these affairs, we're going to have all manner of injustice, all manner of confusion, and all manner of tragedy and disaster. But let's go a step further. How is it and why is it that it's wrong to steal? The answer is that God has given you the responsibility to look after yourself. We're told in Timothy that a man that will not provide for himself and for his own household is worse than an infidel, and he's denied the faith. And you have a responsibility to look after yourself. And the looking after of yourself enters into this whole area of your possessions, how you treat them, how you care for them, how you use them, how you advance yourself and your estate by them. Beloved, I'd love to go into this at some length. In fact, I thought maybe I'd preach two or three sermons on this Eighth Commandment, because right in here, you and I come face to face with the terrific onslaught that's been made upon our society and the structure of our society. We're living in a society right now where everybody's being told that somebody else will take care of them. That somebody else will look after them. and that somebody else is Uncle Sam. That somebody else is this power that's developing here whereby the welfare of the individual is to be taken care of by the corporate power of the state. Beloved, it is not in the Ten Commandments. And do you know why our society in the Western world, do you know why this United States of America developed with the concept of the private property and private enterprise and private responsibility and the individual being the private capitalist? Do you know why that developed in this country? Because we had people who founded this republic and they spread across this land who believed in the Ten Commandments. And they had preachers who stood in their pulpit just like I'm standing in this pulpit this morning, and they expounded the Eighth Commandment to the people of the community, and they told them, your business is to take care of yourselves. Your business is to get your property and guard it and protect it. God's given it to you. And you need to look after yourself. Nobody else is going to look after you. And back in those early days, they didn't have any Washington to take care of them. They didn't have any politicians to make them the kind of promises that are being made today. You either looked after yourself, or you're in a bad fix. And that's the responsibility that's laid down here in this blessed commandment which God has given to us. Thou shalt not steal. But there's still a third reason why we have this blessed commandment. First, God says it. Second, God's made you so that you need it. And in the third place, beloved, it is this way because God holds you personally responsible for it. And you can't shift your responsibility in these matters to somebody else. You just can't do it. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that supports a socialistic idea of society. I don't think there's anything anywhere in the Bible that supports this idea that the state must come in, the state must provide, the state must take care, the state must do everything. Because when you get into that realm, the state takes over this tremendous area where God is operating for the blessings of His people. If the state's going to take care of you, you don't need a God to help you. And that's exactly why socialism and the socialistic countries today, what's happened to their churches? They're empty, they're dead, the people are leaving them on every hand, they're not interested in them, and you can move on up, if you will, now into the communistic realm, and you're ready to get into the communistic realm. They say, there is no God, the state is all you need. You serve the state will provide for you, and the state will take care of you. Well, you look at this answer that we have here, sin's forbidden, and then you come down to all these various areas where we get things from other people, fraudulent dealings. You just don't go out and hit a man over his head and rob him. No, you take it away from him by a crooked deal and get it that way. It's in this area of fraudulent dealings that you get the whole question of gambling. And it's wrong for a Christian to go out and take money away from somebody else by the flip of a coin or by the rolling of a dice. That's a violation of this commandment. False weights and measures. Man's in business and he's got his scales, everything looks like it's fine, but the scales are out of balance and he knows it and he's picking up a little percentage on every deal he makes. He knows it. Removing of landmarks. Where a man would go out and remove the stake or remove the landmark and make the line look different, and there'd be some differences, of course, in this matter of property and the like. Injustices and unfaithfulness in contracts between man and man. And in our society where we have the right of property, we exchange property and we sell our properties and we have deeds and we have contracts and we deal by means of a contract and we sign the contracts. And then when the deal is made, we go down and register it with the public officials down in the courthouse where everybody can see the public record. It's a contract between individual interest and enterprise, but it becomes a matter of public record. And we operate in that sphere, and we have operated in that sphere as a free country, and I pray, God, that we will continue to operate in that sphere. And that we will not find ourselves in the position where the government comes in and takes over our properties and provides us our housings and finally takes over everything, and we're just a nice ward of the state. and the church comes along with its endorsement and its approval, and you finally put the people in some kind of a socialistic order where the state's taking care of them. And when you do that, you destroy the individual. You destroy his character. You destroy his independence of action. And I say to you people this morning, as the pastor of this great church, when you see the breaking down of the respect that people have for property, when I see what happened to the admiral, when I see what's happening on every hand, the disregard for things that cost money, and the way in which people are just wasting and extravagant in these things, all I'm saying to you people is that we're losing our sense of personal responsibility and the value which we should place upon these things which are about us. And we're breaking down our moral standards. And that leads to something else. And we are on the road to something else at the present moment. Unless we come back again to these marvelous concepts which are in the Word of God. Now we go on. In matters of trust, extortion, usury, bribery, vexatious lawsuits. And we have engrossing commodities to enhance the price. And we know how that has developed in our own national and political life in what we know as the great Sherman antitrust laws, whereby we said here, we're not going to permit any conspiracies and restraint of trade in this country. And that was designed according to these principles that we find laid down here actually in the Word of God. Well, you say, if that's the way it is, what are we going to do about it? The only thing you can do about it is to teach the people that when they desecrate property, they're sinning against God and they're going to have to pay a price for it someday because God is just and the wages of sin is death. In this whole realm of property, this whole realm of possessions, if you throw it away, you don't buy it. If you have to work hard to get it, you'll value it. But every man should value it. Every man should recognize the position and the place which it occupies. Now I want to turn to some of these wonderful passages in the Bible that speak of your responsibility after you get your property. All I've been saying now is that you have a right to have it. And that God has ordained it, and this is a divine prerogative that we have here in this blessed book. But I'd like to turn you to two or three of these passages in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament, where you're confronted specifically with these statements as to the responsibilities that we have. And we have statements, for instance, in the epistle to the James, over in that epistle, we have a number of references there in which the apostle tells us that the rich men are to weep and to howl because their miseries are coming upon them. We're told that men are not to put their trust in uncertain riches which will perish and pass away. We're told that men who have means are to be able to be communicated with, and they should be willing to give and to help. Furthermore, we're told that it is the responsibility of those of us who do help to give to those who are in great need and to those who are suffering. And it's right in this area, just as certain as you lose your sense of responsibility for property, you use your sense of responsibility for the use of that property. There isn't anything wrong with a society which is free and which men are able to make money and to make means, but the men who make it are the ones who then are to become the benefactors of the society. Where do we get our hospitals, and where do we get our schools, and where do we get our institutions, and where do we get our churches? They should come from the giving of the people who make the money. That's where they should come from. But as your responsibility for yourself and your responsibility for the means that God has given you depreciates and degenerates, that responsibility is put by society over in the hands of the public or the state, and first thing you know, it's the state this and the state that and the state everything, and then the state takes care of everybody and everything.
And when you get to that state, then the state proceeds to take the money away from you by force. And you have a tax burden upon everybody to do this sort of thing, and you have destroyed the individual and his responsibility as such. Beloved, you and I are moving into a world where all in the world any of us are going to be are just automatons, just little cogs in this machine. And the government will take away everything from us, give back to us what they think we need, and we're moving into that realm in the thinking of our political life today because our churches are getting away from the Word of God and the Ten Commandments. We're getting away from this concept that when God gives you something, it is yours, and you're to protect it, and you're to use it, and then you're to give it. And in that giving, we send out our missionaries. In that giving, we take care of the poor. In that giving, we look after those who have special needs. And in that giving, we maintain our schools and our institutions. Now, we still operate on those principles here. But we're not operating on those principles in our political life. And the problem is that you have politicians today who either haven't been under the teaching of the Word of God, or if they have been under the teaching of the Word of God, they're not willing to stand up for these principles in our political life. They think they can't get elected, and therefore they have to make concessions to the general socialistic concept which seems to be embracing us at the present time. And I say to you people right now, we need politicians, and we need men in political life who will stand up for these things even if they can't get elected, but who will stand up for them in the debate and in the discussion that's taking place in our national life at the present time, and try, by the help of Almighty God, to preserve a society where the people will be the strength of that society and not a powerful state taking care of the nice, soft people who are willing to be a party to this kind of order.
My, when you get into these commandments, I appreciate our forefathers. I appreciate what they did when they developed this new land of ours. And they made it a land of freedom. I appreciate it. But there's still other people who have these ideas. And somebody sent me a statement here, Property Owner's Bill of Rights. Came from the California Real Estate Association. Somebody ought to say a good word for the real estate men once in a while. But here it is. Let me read you from this Bill of Rights. Today, the rights and freedoms of the individual American property owner are being eroded. A renewed Bill of Rights to protect the American property owner is needed. It is self-evident that the erosion of these special freedoms may destroy the free enterprising individual American. Now, I don't know who wrote this. Have any idea where it came from? It's the idea that I see here. But whoever did write it is absolutely right. There is an erosion of these concepts of the responsibility of the individual for himself and for his property. And here is an attack upon what you call property rights. And one of the points where you hear it and where you see it so clearly right now is in the philosophy that we must put human rights above property rights. That's one of the popular cliches, as you know. But what are these human rights that they're talking about that they want to put above property rights? Look at them and see what they are. Usually, what's involved is an attack upon property rights. It's an attack upon some right that God's given us. And under the slogan of so-called human rights or abroad humanism, that's what it amounts to, they're making an attack upon the morality set forth in the Ten Commandments and which God wanted us to have in the carrying out of our social life. You hear about these social creeds. The Methodists have become particularly interested in these social creeds. Beloved, you don't need a so-called social creed today. You and I have the greatest social creed of all times. It is the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If we could just get back to what God is telling us we should do in our relationship to each other, as that relationship is defined by the laws which He has established, we'd have all the social creeds we need anything to do with. It's there. But look at this property owner's Bill of Rights. It is our solemn belief that the individual American property owner may be allowed under law to retain, one, the right of privacy, still yours. Two, the right to choose his own friends. Three, the right to own and operate property according to his own dictates. Four, the right to occupy, administer, and dispose of property without legal interference in accordance with the dictates of his conscience. Five, the right to equal rights in the enjoyment of property without interference by any laws giving special privilege to any group or groups. You can see what they're getting at that particular point, of course. But here we come now by legislation rendering down and saying you can't sell, you can't do this, you can't do that, and all of these things are an attack upon your right in the possession of your property. It is a right which we've always enjoyed in this country, a right which we've always had in this country. But here we come again now with the power of the state, with the political power, moving down to limit and narrow this field of your personal responsibility and activity in the property which you possess. We could develop this at great length, but here it is. And you know what we need in the church today? We need members of the church who study the law of God and understand. We need every boy and girl in the church who study these things, not just live on a very superficial plane, but come right on down to all the fullness of what God wants us to do in our service of Him. And when He says, "Thou shalt not steal," then you honor the rights of private property, private responsibility. And it takes this private sense of responsibility to make you a decent person. Oh, I go to these mission fields and you see all the aid and relief we're giving out by the billions of dollars. You just hand it out to the people, they're glad to get it, and they'll fuss because they didn't get more. But after they spent it, what have they done? They're right where they were when they started out. But you go down as I've gone to Brazil, you go down as I've gone to Chile, and you put money in some missionary enterprises, and you get somebody straightened out with the Lord, and then go over to their house and see what happened to their house. Got cleaned up. A way to clean people up, a way to give people responsibility for themselves, is to give them the knowledge of the true God and an understanding that they must give an account to God for their property and for their homes and for their possessions. And you try to clean people up in the pagan world without the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, you're engaged in all kinds of vanities. But you take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the pagan world, and they find forgiveness of sins and the love of God. They'll clean up their homes. They'll clean up their bodies. They'll clean up their families. And the Bible and the Word of God has that great cleansing power in our social life. I must close the message, but do you know what this does? It opens up a whole field that many of us don't think about. But it makes you realize that you yourself are a transgressor in this whole area too. Your heart, your disposition. The Lord says that you must make your means honorably and honestly. That you must be content with what He's given you and not go out and engage in activity to get gain which He forbids. Not at all. But it means that you and I are brought closer and closer to the truth of God. And when you see it, you delight in it. And then when you have property, you're going to use it. You'll give it to somebody else, or when you die, you'll pass it on to your heirs, or give it to the Church of Christ, or give it the service of the Lord. And all the laws of this land in these areas are designed to protect your decision in this matter. Your decision. It's yours. And you have to respond to God for it.
and let's use our property and let's protect what we have to the end that we may glorify God with it and serve God by it. Thou shalt not steal. God said it. Let us pray.
Our Father, we're so thankful today that we can take the Ten Commandments. And oh, that the Lord's people would see that these modernist philosophies which turn away from the Ten Commandments are putting us into the grasp of a state instead in the hands of God. Father, we pray that Thou will give us political leaders and men who are engaged in political activities that will stand up for these things and not compromise them for expediency's sake. Give us men who recognize that the law of the Lord is abiding and that it is eternal. And that we must have a community and we must have churches. We must have young people who will respect property and their rights of property. And not fall to the false cliches of the hour, where the communists come in and they throw out property and speak of the human rights, which are socialist. Deliver the Christian church from the bondage of the state and deliver the people from dependence upon society. But may we be dependent upon our God, and may we serve our fellow man and take our place in a free society for good. These things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.